The liturgical sense of the readings at Mass. One of the most challenging truths that far too many people have struggled with is believing that they were created by God to be happy. The struggle is that life is filled with opportunities for sadness and pain, and some people feel that the God who revealed himself to us through Christ Jesus in the sacred scriptures do not communicate happiness, or at least a happiness that resembles anything familiar to us in the world. Yet, the church dares to remind us that God has made us to know him, love him, serve him in this world, and be happy with him forever in heaven. But do we have to wait until we die to be happy? No. The constant truth is that we were created in the image and likeness of God. And all that we are and all that we will be reflect God. Therefore, we are called to be happy because God is happy. And Christ Jesus, who is exactly like his Father, is happy. He is also happy being fully God and fully man, and like us in every way but sin. Therefore, we must study Christ and explore his life. Because if he was happy, let us discover what happiness looks like according to our Lord and God. Here, the answer is clear. Any absence of happiness in our present life means that we are not fully present in our divine life. That is to say, succumbing to sin and temptation makes us less than happy. In contrast, the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. Indeed, this is why the prince of the world has duped us into believing that sinning is what makes us happy, and why despair, the gravest of sins, can lead us to suicide, voluntarily canceling one's own life, the last act of a creature who has given up on attaining true happiness. This is why the Divine Symphony, the liturgy of the Catholic Mass, is so essential to our lives. The Mass is our path to true happiness, as it leads us to holiness. Holy people are happy because they have become or are becoming who God created them to be. The first reading at the Divine Symphony today, for the sixth week in Easter in year C, comes from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, and 22 through 29. Here, at the first ecumenical council of the Catholic Church, our first bishops addressed the question of circumcision for the Gentiles, listening to the Holy Spirit, who made it clear that the path to holiness should not be made arduous or burdensome by the church, for temptation makes it difficult and burdensome enough. If you recall how happy you felt when your parents, or teacher, or supervisor made your life easier by rewarding you with less work, such was the case when the Jews were striving to observe the law, heard Jesus say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." Similarly, The Gentiles were very pleased that the path to salvation and holiness was made open to them without any burdens placed upon them other than those that were necessary. So too does a second reading from Revelation, chapter 21, verses 10 through 14 and 22 through 23, come in to remind us how happy God must be, because he wants all of us to come to his feast, his home, and his heart. In John's vision, he says the angel took him in spirit to a great high mountain and showed him the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens from God. One might think at first that this city is unwelcoming because it has a massive high wall. But no city designed to keep people out would have 12 gates. It may have 2, but definitely no more than 4. However, the city of God has 12 ways to enter because it is for all the tribes of God's people who will be led there by the 12 apostles of the Lamb. How happy we ought to be to hear that God wants us to come home to him, that all we need to do is follow the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and who comes to the divine symphony to make us worthy to pass through the gates. We can say that succinctly, the apostles were teaching the Gentiles that they have a home here in this church of Christ. And upon hearing that, they were happy. John felt joy in seeing all the gates and entryways into the New Jerusalem. And now our Lord, Christ Jesus, dares to say to us in today's gospel reading from John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 29. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. We ought to be very happy hearing those words. We should cling to him with reckless love. Yet, it can be difficult at times, and happiness seems like the least of our concerns. We are just trying to live and make it to the next thing. Yet, for this, he also says to us in today's readings, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Oh, if we truly believed in the peace of Christ Jesus, and how his peace keeps us bound to the path of holiness and happiness, we would not treat the sign of peace at Mass so trivially, nor would the church in the first few centuries have regarded the kiss of peace during Mass so abominably. This is why the liturgy given to us has always been so unique and distinct from the world, and why the liturgy is truly a set-apart space that separates us from the world and calls us into our littleness so that we might fall in awe of the otherness of God. The liturgy of the Mass exists to make us feel humble and small, and having felt like a little child before our eternal Father, we knew we were happy. Happy to simply commune with him in this moment and space, which we recognize is just a foretaste of the happiness in space for which we were created. My friends, embrace the path to holiness and happiness the divine symphony has set before you, and live it every day.
This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.